Her name was Norma Jean Doherty, but when she was discovered and they wanted to make a star out of her, they changed her name. They asked her to do certain things, change her style, change the way she walked, change the way she talked. Anyhow, she changed a lot. Well, what if somebody discovered you? What if someone discovered you and said, we'd like to make you into a movie star, but you know what you've got to do? You've got to build up a little bit more muscle here and work out. Or we're going to change we change your hair color. We want you to be this way. You do a lot of things. You'd be surprised how many things people will do for the temporary world of fame, being in the, and of course politicians change all the time. They change their ideas, they change their talk, they change their belief, they go back and forth. They do this all the time. They change. In fact, there's a statement that says the only permanent thing in life is change. It's almost paradoxical, isn't it? The permanence of change. The permanence of things that are not permanent. A lot of people, they don't want to change. A lot of people do not. They don't like change. They don't want any kind of change in any way. They just don't like to change themselves. I have a gentleman who comes to me because he has a drinking problem and everything. His wife gets all upset and they have a lot of fights over his drinking. But I asked him, well, do you want to change this? He said, no. I like drinking. I said, well, I can't, I'm really not there to help you much. Remember the old question, how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but the light bulb has got to be willing to change. So you can't do it unless people are willing to do it. So a lot of people don't want to. It's sort of like James' statement in the book of James. It says, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers only, and they delude themselves if they're hearers. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he has looked at himself, he goes away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. He looks at himself in the mirror, I got to change this, and he walks away and he forgets it completely. Now change is inevitable. Everybody's changing. You're changing. We're all changing, aren't we? Our bodies are changing. Our skin is changing. Our hair is changing. We are changing. Our bones are changing. We're changing. The universe is changing. The seasons change. We're going to have daylight savings time a week from tonight. So you and your body, people tend to resist it. Psychotherapy, in my profession, it's all about change. Changing from bad habits, changing from bad relationships, changing from your own, indulgences to a different thing. You're changing. You got to change. He became famous. He wasn't famous before this, but he became famous. He was a biologist, or I think he was a biologist. But anyhow, he looked at his grandchild. He watched this little kid, and then he came up with some ideas about child development, and his theories and his ideas became. They just took off. They spread all over the world. And, so his name was Jean Piaget. Jean Piaget came up with the idea of how children developed. He came up with these words, assimilation. The child has certain behaviors. He calls them schemas, but certain behaviors. You give a child a little ball like this, a little something, the child will put it in his mouth right away. Little babies, you got to watch what you give a baby. They'll put it in their mouth. Everything, first thing is goes in their mouth. But if you give it a ball like that, the baby will try to put that ball in their mouth, won't go. So they want to assimilate everything, put it in their mouth and take it in, assimilate it. But if they can't put it in, it's big like this, then they have to do what? They have to accommodate to the ball. So now it won't go in, so what do I do with it? Oh, I throw it. Oh, it bounces. Okay, now I'm accommodating to that ball, I can't assimilate it, so now I'm accommodating to the things I can't assimilate. And he calls assimilation and accommodation, when you put those two things, he says those things add up to what he calls adaptation. Adaptation, he calls intelligence. The better you can adapt, and the more you can adapt, the more intelligence. That's why humans have existed, outlasted a lot of other species, because humans accommodate. We accommodate to things. Now, examples of people and companies, you know, there are companies that didn't change. Swiss watches did not change after we found out that you could send a little impulse through a crystal and that that would keep almost perfect time. Swiss watches kept making the things that they refused to put a crystal in there. So you have, and people started buying watches from Japan and buying watches from other companies, countries, and all these other watches, you know, Texas Instruments came out with watches and so on. And they kept almost perfect time. But the Swiss companies, the way we got to do it, we have to have a movement, you have to move your wrist and it winds itself and all that. Finally, the Swiss had to cave into that. They almost lost the watch industry. American car manufacturers, you know, didn't believe that people wanted good gasoline mileage and all that. Remember the big boats of the 1950s and early 60s? These big boats, the Cadillac, the big long things. You know, they were like giant boats and very inefficient in car manufacturing. And, of course, Volkswagen, Toyota, and all these companies. We almost lost the car market. The fact is, Americans have pretty much lost a huge section. We used to dominate all Americans, bought American cars. Now we buy Japanese cars, you know, this car and that car comes from Korea, this car comes from someplace else, the Germans, the Belgians, the other, you know, everybody's sending cars here. All right. Sometimes a change in one thing produces a change in something else. You know the book of Hebrews. I'll just talk about this one second. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, chapter 7 and verse 11, if perfection had come through the Levitical priesthood, there would be no further need for another priest after the order of Melchizedek. Why is God talking about the order of Melchizedek? For when the priesthood is changed, it changed. Of necessity, there needed a change, a transformation also of the law. A change of the law. Now, a lot of people think that's a change of the tithing law. That you went from the tithing from here to the tithing of there. And that's not the change it's talking about. It's changing a change in the law of who could become priests. For we are for the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no one has officiated at the altar. Jesus Christ became our high priest, and there are no priests from the tribe of Judah. They were all from the tribe of Levi under the order of Aaron. Jesus was not from that tribe. Yet he became our high priest through the power of an everlasting life, after the order, he says, of Melchizedek. Now, churches and other institutions like schools, government, the bigger the organization, the bigger they think, the harder it is. The more they resist change. They resist it. Very difficult for schools to change. They start doing their thing. Very difficult for the Army, the Navy. The various giant organizations have a very strong antipathy toward change. We don't want to change. We've always done it this way. We're going to continue to do it this way. That's how we do it. Okay, they don't want to change. And sometimes their approach to the problem can be summarized with these words, more of the same. How do we deal with the problem? More of the same. Well, we need more money for this. It's not working. Well, let's give more money for it. No, that's not working. Well, let's do more money for it. More of the same, okay? We need to kill out these germs. Let's give it an antibiotic. Well, that doesn't work now. We're getting another. But well, we need more. We need more powerful antibiotics. We mean even more powerful than that antibiotic. We need even more more of the same. We just keep doing more and more of the same thing, even though it doesn't work. We don't want to change. Now, the Bible has a lot of definitions of change, and Hebrew and, well, as Greek words talk about change or exchange, to turn something, turn around, to put something in, put or place something, to make something other than that, to alter it, to disguise oneself, to pass something away, to renew. Like you change your garments, you renew yourself, you change your wages. The Bible talks about how Jacob said, "Your father changed my wages 10 times. You know, he would change. You know, okay, let's do it. Then, well, no, I don't think it's that way. Now we're going to pay you this, and he changed my wages 10 times. Psalm 102 and verse 26 says, talking about God, "Even though they will perish, but you will endure, you endure, and all of them will wear out like a garment." He's talking about the sky, the stars, the things. "They will wear out like a garment, like clothing, and you will change them, and they will be changed." God can change things, but God himself, his purposes don't change. So the English word change in our English is trying to capture the shades of meaning of 13 variations of 9 Hebrew words. When we talk about change, if you talk about the Old Testament, there are 9 Hebrew words that have to do with change, and there are variations of those words, 13 different variations. Now, there's bad change, like Laban's change. He changed the stuff for 10 times. "Your father changed my wages 10 times. That's incredible. Over the 7 to 14 years, you changed the way. I'm gonna change your wage again. I think it's too much here. No. Now there's a bad change coming, and talking about the person who is going to be he will insult. He's talking about this evil person in chapter 7 of Daniel. I'm going to drop down to verse 25. I'm reading from the New Jerusalem Bible. It says, "He will insult the Most High, and he will torment the holy ones," that is the saints. He will torment the saints of the Most High, the holy ones of the Most High. "He will plan to alter," that's a change, "the seasons and the law." That's a bad change. We don't want that change. "And the saints will be handed over to him for a time, two times and a half a time." So whoever this power will dominate over the holy ones, God's people. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 5, the earth lies polluted under the inhabitants, for they have disobeyed instruction, swept aside. Here's the change. This is the Hebrew word. They swept aside. They changed the law, and they have broken the covenant. They changed it. The Israelites changed it. So there are changes, and one of the changes is instability. Unstable, being unstable. Something that changes too fast, being unstable in yourself. Genesis chapter 49 verse 4 says that he was, he was unstable as water. "You shall not excel because you went into your father's bed, then you defiled it, he went up to my couch." So here he's unstable as water. Now, water is unstable, but it's great. It's a great thing for the water to be, not for you, but for water to be unstable. That is, it evaporates in the air, it can freeze, and it has various components. James chapter 1, verse 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. He can't make up his mind. He's, I should be this way, I should be that way. I can't be, I should commit, I should not commit, I should be here. Double-minded. Now, you want to change when the truth comes to you. There's a positive things, but there are bad changes. Here's what Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, talking about Paul, speaking in them of things in which there are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they're unstable. They wrest it, they change it, they grab it, and they twist it as they do also the other scriptures into their own destruction. They twist it because they're unstable. They're unlearned first. And the more the less you know, the more unstable you will be. Chances are, you know, a little knowledge, they say, is a dangerous thing. In Romans chapter 1, you have here a statement. I'm going to start in Romans 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I'm reading from the Newest American Standard Version. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They just suppress it. They don't change it so much right there. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. Now, you know, Paul's saying, if you just look at the world, the creation of the world, God's divine nature, his attributes can be clearly seen. By the way, the Greek philosophers saw it. They saw it. They said, the whole world, they say, there's the one. They all knew. The real intelligent Greek philosophers did not go along with the Greek mythology, thinking there are a whole bunch of gods running around in heaven, cavorting and having sex with one another, the goddesses. And the real intelligent philosophers said, I don't think so. That's not so. That's not so. That's just fodder for the masses, you know, to keep them entertained. But they didn't believe that. They said there is the one. There is one. That one has made up the world. The world is made up of the ones. Everything is sort of almost like our molecules, or like saying something about molecules or atoms. The one made up the entire world from the ones. All these things, right? That's what Greek philosophers did. So they knew. They could see, and you would say, well, God must be kind because, you know, rain falls on everybody. The sun, that's what Jesus said. The sun shines on everybody. There's food for everybody. There's food for the animals. God is kind, even though he makes a lot of rabbits and, you know, foxes eat them and coyotes eat them. But they're in abundance. The ones that have to be food for others, they come up in abundance. What would we do without chickens? You know, everything is chicken. You know, you go everywhere, it's a chicken thing. So, for since the creation of the world, verse 20, his invisible attributes and eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what had been made, so that they are without excuse. They understood it. For even though now, they understood it, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile. Now, here's one of the things people do. They're coming along, and they run into some real truth, okay? And they look at it for a while, and then they, well, let's go on. We got to find out something else. And they leave it. They leave it. They move on to something else. And they pass truth. They pass away, pass over the truth. They leave it. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God and became things. But they became futile in their speculations now. And their foolish heart was darkened. They were enlightened at one point. Now they become professing to be wise, they became fools. We're too smart for this. And they, listen to verse 23, they exchanged. Here's the change. Exchanged. Okay, here's the change. I'm not going to have this. I'm going to trade that for this. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds, four-footed animals, and crawling things. Therefore, God gave them over to lusts of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged, once again, verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And in verse 27, and in the same way also, men abandoned the women. You know, they had they abandoned the natural thing. They exchanged. They changed things up from the way God had set it up. And they went into all kinds of degradations and reaped the whirlwind. Now, the Greek word here, it means, in these passages, means is the Greek word that means to alter. You can make something, you can make it differently, you can change it, you can exchange it, you can make it into another form. For instance, in Jeremiah, why do you go around so much changing your way? Also, you will see to the shame of Egypt, and you were put to shame by Assyria. So the Hebrew word here is changing your ways. Now there are good changes. There are bad changes. There are good changes. You have to have the good changes. You want to avoid bad changes. Now here they said, this is Acts chapter 28 verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have been swallowed. You remember when they had that crash and they went on the island of Malta and a snake bit Paul, and they thought, you know, he was going to die. They watched him, and then after that, they changed their minds about Paul, and they began to think he was a god. You know, he went from one, he was an invader, now he must be a god because he got bit by this poisonous snake, and he's not dying. He didn't even swell up. Now, does the Bible authorize change? Are you authorized to change? Yes. Here it is, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow. Now, we all have had, if you've been a parent, you've seen little kids. They start off a little small. They grow. They change. They change. When I was a kid, I remember, you know, every time I come to see my uncles, they say, well, look at him. He's grown. Wow, he's gotten so much big, and he's growing. You're look at, what are you feeding this kid for? He's grown like a weed. And so I knew they saw changes in me. Changes. I was changing. I'm changing now. You know, I'm changing now. You're changing now. But spiritually, we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to change, grow in grace. That is God's favors. Grow in our own graciousness. We have to grow in graciousness and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean grow sin, grow in sin so you can have unearned pardon, you know, undeserved pardon. That's not what it's talking about. Grow in grace means graciousness and the graces that come from God. To him be the glory for now and forever. We are supposed to grow. You know, that means changing. Changing. Grow means changing. The meaning of this word means to grow, to means to augment, to increase, to become greater, to grow and increase in so on. That's what it means. So it's changing. Psalm 8:92, the just shall flourish like the palm tree, shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. The just will grow. We grow, and we change. We change properly. What kind of change is that? What kind of change is that? It's the change of that comes with the way we repent. In the New Testament, the word repent means to change your mind. Repent. Change your mind. Look at that differently. Look at your life differently. Look at what God says to you differently. And change your mind and change the way you are looking at yourself and sin and change. Here's a beautiful statement. Seek the eternal. This is Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the eternal while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's a change. The unrighteous man has to forsake his thoughts. That's a change. Let them return to the eternal. That's a change. Return. That's come back. That you go in one direction, you can't come back the other way. For he will abundantly pardon. He will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For why do we do this? Why are we needing this change? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the eternal. Now, Jeremiah made a statement. Sometimes he said, this is a very sarcastic statement, okay? It's very sarcastic. This is from God through Jeremiah, sarcastic to the Israelites. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or a leopard his spots? Well, then you can also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Okay? Can he change his spots? Well, maybe you can change. So the idea is, you Israelites, you're not going to change because, you know, you're probably not going to do it. It's just sarcasm. It's making fun of them because you are so accustomed to doing evil. How can you now make a change and do good? We have this statement about God in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I, the Eternal, do not change. Therefore, you, sons of Jacob, are not consumed. In other words, I have a purpose. I still love you. I have loved you. He said in verse 2 of chapter 1, I have loved you. And all they do is, you know, give him grief. But he says, I don't change. I could destroy you, but I'm not going to do it. I could change. I'm not going to do that. I do not change. Now, some people put that with the Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And they use that in certain ways. You got to be very careful how you use that. Does God change? God does not change his attributes. God does not change his character. God does not change his overall purposes. God does not change his love for mankind. He does not change that. What does he change? God does change his methods. He changes his methods. What was a method many years ago is not a method today. Under Abraham, and during the Abraham, during the patriarch period, they were allowed to build an altar and sacrifice to God just about anywhere. They might build a stone altar. Get an animal and sacrifice it. Under Moses, that's forbidden. You can't do that anymore. So God changes his modality. He changes his practice. He changes his methods. Methods are changed, not the same. You can say, well, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. Let's say Jesus healed a leper today. And he went out to call a papa. Would Jesus say to the leper like he did in the New Testament, go show yourselves to the priests and offer that which Moses said in the law? No, he wouldn't say that today. Well, there's no temple. There are no priests around to offer up a purpose. There's no offerings. So he wouldn't say that. You see, things change, but not God's overall purposes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth of love, we are to grow up to in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. We're supposed to grow up. We're changing, growing up. Colossians 1 verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. See, if I grow in the knowledge of God, I will change. Some of the sermons I gave 50 years ago, I wouldn't give today. I won't say every sermon, but some of them I wouldn't give today. My knowledge and growth has changed. Second Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. They were growing. This church was changing. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. That's from the English Standard Version. Beautiful passage. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. He's here again, the analogy of children. As newborn babes, long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. You're growing, you're changing spiritually. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you cannot help in many ways. You cannot help. All you have to do is read the Bible periodically. You know, you pray, you come to God. You cannot help but change. You cannot help but grow. But you don't want to grow at the slowest possible rate spiritually. You want to grow at a little faster rate. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, listen to this. If you have the Holy Spirit, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed, that means changed, into the same image. Into what image? Into Christ's image. We're looking in the mirror to Christ's image. We all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is us. We are looking with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into that same image. Spiritually. Spiritually. We mean spiritually. There's going to be a great change one day. It's going to be the ultimate change we hope we'll never go back on. This is Job chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man die, will he live again? All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. I'm going to wait till that change. There's a change coming. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, talking about Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby, that working meaning the power whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He's going to use all his power to change our bodies. These are vile bodies. These are vile. You know, dead body. What does it do? It decays. Dead body stinks. The flesh wipes off of it. I mean, that's it. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Our vile body shall be changed into his, like unto his glorious body. And he has the power to do it. The ultimate change will come this time. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And sleep is the term for death in the New Testament. You're going to sleep, that's death sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. If you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if God has put his Holy Spirit in you, if Christ is abiding in you, we shall all be changed. How long does it take to build a, you know, you place an order for a car. How long does it take to build a car? If I wanted my car and I say, you know, I want new seats in it. I want a new paint job. I want to put a camera in the back. It's an older car. But how long is it going to take to do that? takes a while, right? You guys say, well, you leave it for a few weeks and a month or something. Well, I remember just somebody hit me in the trunk and buckled the trunk of our car, and I had to drive a rental car for quite a while. I think it was, I don't know, like 6 weeks before they had that car done. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. In the blink of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's a change that will never stop. That's a change that is complete and forever. That's an irreversible change. One that doesn't change. Here's a change. You know, what did I say before? The only permanent thing in life is change. Here's a change that never changes. Thanks be to God for that.